January 20th is the anniversary of the famous Supreme Court decision that we call Roe v. Wade. It was where the Supreme Court said there was a constitutional right to abortion. Now, there never has been. The word abortion, the subject, it isn't even hinted of course, but somehow the Supreme Court took a right to privacy, which also is not literally in the Constitution, to say that it covered abortion. That was 50 years ago. In fact, it was 1973. I remember it very well. I was in college at the time. And it's affected our country like almost no other Supreme Court decision in history. Thankfully, about 6 months ago, it was overturned by the Supreme Court. And today I'm going to talk to Dr. Alveda King about this important decision and about for the March for Life that happens in Washington, D.C. every year on the anniversary. You may know that Dr. Alveda King is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. She was 4 years old and was a little flower girl in his wedding. And her parents and her grandparents and Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife all lived in the same house in Atlanta, Georgia. You can visit it. It's called the Birth House because it's where Martin Luther King Jr. was actually born. I visited there with her. It's very interesting. And over the years, she has always been a very, very outspoken opponent of abortion. And she's agreed to be on my podcast today. And you're going to hear our conversation about what to expect at the March for Life this year in Washington and some other very important things. So stay tuned to my conversation with Dr. Alveda King. I'm Stephen Strang, and this is the Strang Report.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. The Strang Report aims to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Well, welcome back. And Dr. King, thank you for fitting me in. This is a very important week. We had both Martin Luther King Day, and then on the 20th, we have March for Life. You'll be there. Tell me and my listeners and viewers what you're expecting and what you want to happen.
I am so excited about March for Life 2023. And there's already a victory. And in Christ, we already won. We go from victory to victory. So this year, I'm getting with many of my friends with a fresh start for life. And there are other people who are coming on board who've always been pro-life, but not so active. And they are coming to DC this year, working with our good friend, Day Gardner, and Dean Nelson and others. So I'm very excited to join so many. Liz Doyle from She Leads Michigan, which has become She Leads America, is also going to be there as well, Dr. Liz Doyle. So I'm very excited. I'll be joining Frank Pavone, who is now the executive director, the national director of Priest for Life, which he has always been. And he's going to have that prayer meeting on Friday morning that they always have, and the national prayer service. So I will be at the national prayer service. I will be at the March for Life. I will be networking with pro-life leaders from across America and around the world. So I'm actually very excited about it, Steve.
Well, Dr. Frank, or Father Frank, rather, is an amazing man. But recently, the press was all over the fact that he's actually being attacked by some of the people in the Roman Catholic Church. What's the latest on him?
Well, Father Pavone in the Catholic community, the Roman Catholic community, all of his supporters are just absolutely outraged. I don't address it from that position because I'm not a Catholic. I'm a non-denominational Christian who came out of the Baptist church, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and all that, as you know. So I can't address the issues of Catholicism, but I know that Father Pavone is beloved and people in the Catholic Church are just totally upset about the Vatican letting him be put out of his position, being what they call defrocked, without the collar. So he still wants to be reinstated. And I'm sure he's praying for that and doing whatever is necessary. But meanwhile, he's still fighting for the babies and he's working for life. And we put it this way, from the womb to the tomb and beyond. So he's still engaged and very active.
Well, maybe that will happen, and we can all hope and pray that it does. But it's so good to see that he's not discouraged. He's just moving ahead, and he's had such a great influence. You know, the 20th is actually the anniversary of when the Supreme Court handed down Roe v. Wade. And has there been a march every year? I don't know that for a fact, but I know the last many years, and several years ago, Donald Trump became the first sitting president to address the march, and that helped a lot. And we have to remember that he promised that he would do something about Roe v. Wade, and indeed he did. And we have to remember that with everything else that's going on, and no matter what you may think of Donald Trump or his latest tweet, he really was a pivotal person. So Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Abortion has not been overturned. The fact them saying that it was in the Constitution, you know, written by our founding fathers in the 1700s, that it's not there. You had to use your imagination to even to figure out how in the world they thought it was. They said it's not, so it goes back to the states, which is where it was before. So the battle for life continues, but it's on a state-by-state basis. At least the Supreme Court acknowledged the fact that it is not really a constitutional right. Why do you think that the other side is going around saying, you took away our constitutional right? It was never there to start with. What is the way that we can answer that if we ever hear that objection?
The other side understands that it really was never a constitutional right. People should revisit that film, Roe v. Wade. I was an executive producer, Nick Loeb creator.
And you were in the movie. I saw it. You did a great job. And it was a very interesting movie. And even though, you know, I'm a journalist, I knew about it, but I learned a lot watching that movie.
It has all the facts. And I believe that if anybody is really interested in finding out how that bad law became law, going against the Constitution of the United States. And if you take less than a couple of hours, and just watch, and it's really explained how that did actually happen.
Well, this is the first March to Life since that Supreme Court decision last summer. How is that going to make things different? What's going to be the focus this time?
The focus this year is to now inform, educate, and activate people statewide across the United States of America, and encourage people to talk to their leaders, to elect people who really care about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness from the womb to the tomb and beyond, and acknowledging human dignity and the sanctity of life are actually the same thing. And so who we elect, who works within our communities, we really want to engage and activate the Christian and the faith communities, the Judeo-Christians. Believe it or not, Steve, some people in the Muslim community are very pro-life as well. So if we can activate believers, people of faith, to be more active about not only the babies too, abortion, but euthanasia, because that's a big problem in the nation as well. There's no real big fight in all the laws, but the elderly and the sick are at risk as well. So the sanctity of life for the weakest, the ones who need our help the most, and the March for Life will be focusing on the states. I can assure you of that. Now, members of Congress are still there, and they have a role to play as well. So we work for who we elect to the highest offices of the land throughout the states, and even the counties and the mayors and the commissioners, all of that counts. And we're going to be informing, educating, and activating every community.
That's good. And I would just want to thank you for the leadership that you have done, not just this year, but over the years. You have stood so strong for life and been a real voice in the Black community, because a lot of the Black community, even though they may be for life personally, they go along with the agenda of the Democratic Party. And that's got to stop, not just in the Black community, but everywhere. So thank you for being a voice. I want to give you the last word.
Well, I want to mention this, and I think you would be very interested in hearing this, because you visited Atlanta with me, sat in that sanctuary, listening to the voice of Martin Luther King Jr. speak, and the birth home and the whole experience. So people have been saying lately that Ebenezer is Martin Luther King's church. Steve, that was never true. Ebenezer Baptist Church used to be God's church. The historic or historical Ebenezer, where Daddy King preached, his sons Martin and Alfred, ML and AD King, were co-pastors with him. They never considered Ebenezer their church. They considered it Ebenezer to be God's church, where they preached the gospel. And it was never a political church, even during the days of the civil rights movement. It never was. Now, the Horizon Ebenezer Baptist Church is Pastor Warnock's church. He is Senator Warnock, and he is political. And the Horizon Ebenezer Church, which is across the street from the historical Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King Jr. preached, is a political church. And that's where President Biden preached this year during the Martin Luther King holiday. So I wanted to clear up from people, Ebenezer Baptist Church was never Martin Luther King's church. It was always God's church historically. Today, it is a political church, and it is not Martin Luther King's church. So thank you for letting me explain that, because I wanted some people to know that.
Well, I'm glad you did explain it. And it was a very interesting to visit there. Ebenezer Baptist, the historic one that you referred to, is beautifully maintained. It's almost like stepping back into time. Mm-hmm. And the new church is across the street. It's modern. It's very obvious that it's a different church. It's where they continue to have services. And it's just a pity that right there, with the legacy of the King family and everything else, it has turned out the way it is. Maybe we can deal with that on another podcast. I know you're very busy. Thank you for fitting this in. Thank you for being on my podcast today, and I'll be back with another word.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, thank you for watching. I want you to share this video and the podcast on social media. If you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, please do so and leave your comments. You know, your opinion about the right to life and anti-abortion is very important, and I want to hear from you. In the future, I'm going to be shifting gears on my podcast a little bit and talk about my new book. It's called Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. And this is an upside-down world, even that would allow abortion, the taking of life. What is more important than life? We believe that God gave us life and we need to protect it. God created the woman's womb to be the safest place for a new life to develop. But sadly, in some cases, millions of times a year, it's the most unsafe place for a newborn. So those of us who believe in life need to stand up, and we need to help the mothers. We need to do all that. I've done several podcasts on it. I've done podcasts with Dr. Alveda King before. You can check them out on the Charisma Podcast Network. You can look through my videos on YouTube. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing it. And tune in again for another episode of The Strang Report. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com.